Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You guys just take your liberty.
Introduce yourself. Absolutely. My name is Matt Merrill, and this is my lovely bride, Aaliyah. And we've been married for 3 months today. And so we haven't been down here since last July, but glad to be here. And just, Father, we love you. We honor you. And we lean upon you tonight. You're good. And apart from you, we can do nothing. And apart from you, we can bear no fruit. But we say, in you, we can do all things as you strengthen us. Father, I pray of anything tonight that each would leave strengthened by God, encouraged by you, knit together in you, and connected to the future purpose that you have for them. God, I ask that you would begin to lift burdens, anxieties, and where they really love you, God, I just say that maybe their eyes can freshly catch vision with Jesus eye to eye. So we release your grace, God. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just pray that they wouldn't feel condemnation. They would feel the love of God. That they are more than conquerors. They are victors. Nothing can separate them from your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so, I spoke somewhere last night. It was probably the lady speaker. You guys can take a seat or whatever you want to do.
Yes, we've never spoken together before, so this is different.
This is the first one, yeah. Normally she comes up with this ministry team, so. Last night, we got to speak at a national conference, Breakdowns National Conference, and they're a touring team that ministers across our nation in high schools and whatnot. They do character skits and absence skits. They're faith-based, and, you know, it seems very low-key, but in the evening, they have church services and see kids saved and whatnot. So I was planning last night to share about, you know, connection between prayer and schools, and it kind of shifted in the middle of it, which happens every now and then, right? And I just realized, like, God, you love them as individuals, and that's what God wanted to establish. And so before we go anywhere tonight, no matter how many times you've heard it or haven't heard it, like, God loves you for you. If you never did anything for him, if you never prayed again, if you never acted again, if you never served him again, he loves you, and he's crazy about you, and he'll never stop pursuing you. He'll never, never, never stop. We love God because he first loves us, and he's the one who initiates relationship with us. He's the one who's after our hearts, and I wanted that just as a foundation. Like, God loves you deeply. In Ephesians 3, it says how wide and how deep and is a love of God that surpasses knowledge. It surpasses what we comprehend, what we think. And no matter how big of a moment we have a revelation of God's love, where the light bulb just clicks, it turns on, the biggest moments of that are relatively small compared to how much he really, deeply, truly loves us. And it's hard. That word love is so misconstrued. And, you know, we've all had people who said, I love you, and then they hurt us. And maybe it was well-meaning, maybe it was sincere, but I love you, and the next day they're speaking rumors or lies about you. But God's not like that. He's not a hypocrite. He doesn't turn back. And God is light, and in him there's no shadow of darkness. There's no shadow of turning. He's good, and he's good to the core. And I just want you to know, if you feel hurt or you feel wounded by the issues of life, I just think that God wants you to have freedom on the inside. And so I do have a message to share. Is there anything you have right now in that? Okay. She's shy.
But
you can sit down. We'll call you up in a bit. Okay. She's a teacher. She's a teacher, by the way. She just got a new job. She's been teaching math, eighth grade math, at a middle school for the last 4 or 5 years. What's that? You can share this, yeah.
So this is what he asked me to share. So Matt wanted me to share about kind of my experience with how the Lord commissioned me to where I am right now.
What's your background?
So I grew up in church. My parents took me. They're not Christian, but we went to a Disciples of Christ church in Tucson. And it was really traditional. So we sang out of a hymn book. Like, I think we sang to recordings on a CD. Like, there wasn't any live music or anything. And when I was 18, I became an atheist because my great-grandma, who was the only Christian, like real Christian in my family, passed away. And this is actually her wedding ring that she left me when she passed away. And after she passed away, I was like super hurt and like just wondered how this could happen because no one else in my family like really knew how to process or anything. And so I took a year where I was just like super searching I was in my freshman year of college too. And I failed a chemistry test. I thought I was going to be a doctor. I failed a chemistry test, walked out of the classroom, and this girl that I actually had a chemistry class with in high school followed me down a stairwell and was like, "Hey, want to go get coffee?" And I was like, "Okay." She's like, "How'd you do in the final?" And I was like, "I failed." She's like, "Me too. We're going to have a good time at coffee." And she turned out to be in a college ministry, and she started discipling me and talking to me about Jesus. And I went with her to a conference in California, and I gave my life to Christ there. And at the moment I gave my life to Christ, he told me, "I want you to be a middle school math teacher." And I never wanted to be a teacher. My mom was an educator, so I grew up in the schools and just didn't want anything to do with the schools at all. So I told God, "Yeah, sure, I'll be a teacher, uh-huh." And I still had like 2 more years of college left. So I, from fifth grade until my senior year of high school, had failed math every single year. So this is like crazy. Like, no, it's not going to happen. And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So then I took calculus the next semester and passed it with an A. And I have no idea how it happened, but everything just started making sense to me in my classes. And so I went to Russia on a missions trip with this college ministry, the Navigators. And when I was there and saw the power of God, I was like, "No, I'm going to be a missionary. Like, I'm going overseas. I'm done with Tucson. This is not what I want. I'm leaving. I'm going to Africa, and I'm going to work with orphans." And I felt the Lord tell me, "You know, long-term missionaries usually stay a minimum of 3 years, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, that's what you're going to do in Tucson. I'm going to send you there as a long-term missionary, and you're going to work in the schools." Like, no. Well, at the same time that God's commissioning me to do this, there happens to be a young man separately in Tucson who's praying, "Lord, send teachers to the schools." And he's praying and praying. And missionaries to schools. He wanted teachers to be Christians in the schools working with the students. And so God's like stirring in my heart to go to the schools. And I gave in because how can you disobey God? Like, you just can't. He like comes after you and he's like, "This is what you're going to do. You can't say no to that." So I did. I started Christian Club, and I've been there for, this is going to be my fifth year. And what God did is really crazy because I went from failing math every single year to getting 2 scholarships for teaching where I'm like, it's hard to say this in like a humble way, but like the Lord gave me scholarships for being like one of the best teachers in the state my first year teaching. My second year teaching, I won an ASU Best Teacher of the Year award for the state of Arizona. And then I was a semifinalist for another statewide award last year. So he like took my weakness and then just like, I don't know, did work. So, I don't know, Matt.
Okay, I'll share from there.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Isn't she super, super cute? I introduced her last night, and I lost what I was going to say as I was looking at her. I'm like, I guess totally distracted. What's that? Well, yeah, I just asked her to talk about that. And the reason why I wanted to share is because she knew that what God was saying, but she really was resistant to some of it. But she knew what God was saying. She said yes, but she hesitantly said yes. And like, and she fought through it, but she said yes. And she didn't always have the right attitude, and, you know, she'd be okay saying it. When she became a Christian, her mom kicked her out of the house as well, her educator mom. Her brother just got a PhD in psychology, into Richard Dawkins, atheist, and all that. And they both ridiculed her for several years. And it broke her heart, and she prayed and prayed and prayed. And so for her, there was the trials of life as well as the joy of coming to know Jesus. And she'd share about Jesus, and then one day she's just out of the house, and she's sleeping on somebody else's floor in their apartment. You know, did she step on you the first time you were there? She stepped over you? And, you know, so the thing is I wanted to talk tonight a little bit about maturity. I wanted to pull from her story as well as from mine. When God gives promises, I think it's really, really exciting. How many of you feel like God's given you promise at some point in your Christian walk? Some prophecy that's bigger than you are. And God will speak to us all. And some of it sometimes seems way too big. Some of it seems exciting. Some of it seems fearful. But there's a process to that prophecy. And some of it is less than exciting, the process side of this. And there's a few verses I wanted to go to. But first, for me, for my story, I remember having a lot of zeal. When Jesus called me out, I grew up in church. I backslid. Jesus called me back out when I was 17 years old, 16, 17 years old, going into my junior year of high school. You know, I had been arrested a few times. I had a felony on my record. I was adjudicated. Selling alcohol to my locker. My mom gets called by a teacher. Your son has a fight club. And he's selling alcohol to his locker. I mean, it's not a good call. How many of you are parents? You know, that's not a good call, right? And especially for you, she's so small, you know? Your daughter. And so my mom didn't know what she was doing, but she was praying for me. She didn't know what was happening in my life. She was depressed. She was discouraged. So for some of you who have friends or have children who ran away, I ran away as hard as you could, I think. I didn't disbelieve in God. I just disbelieved in God's relevance to my life. Jesus called me back the summer of 06. And the thing was, is God gave me a great zeal when I came back to him. And I was everywhere. I was praying in Walmarts. I didn't know anybody else did that. My mom will tell you, she's like, I will not tell Matt I'm going to Walmart because it'll take an extra hour. True story. And I wish you were here to share some of that. You know, there's other people who will share, because my parents love to share the stories of what God did in my life and how he transformed me. And they would be looking for me, and they couldn't find me until they went to the closet and I was praying. You know, and at times, not every night, but especially in the beginning, I would stay up and I would just open my word and I would pray and I would weep and I would say, Jesus, I just want you. Will you come right now? Like, I can't stand it. Either take me home right now or you come. And there was a real hunger. I knew he saved me, he called me, and I knew he wasn't distant anymore. I knew that he was a God of today, not just tomorrow. I said, I'll serve you when I'm old, but not when I'm young. Not, you know, you're not relevant. You're boring. Christians are boring. Christians are all nerdy. Some of us are. Math teacher, I don't know. So just kidding. I love you. And but God showed me otherwise. He's the coolest person in the universe. God is, you know, he can relate to any person from the PhD down to a little child. As far as those who are open, I mean, you had teachers of teachers who were interested in Jesus to little children. He was gentle, but he was macho. He was a man's man, and yet he was gentle enough that women would come and they would weep at his feet. I mean, we find everything in who he is, and he's relevant to the 8-year-old, to the 18-year-old, to the 80-year-old, and eternally we'll be fascinated with him. But what I began to do when I was a young Christian, I would see leaders, I would see pastors, and, you know, I didn't have good boundaries, but it was God, and I would just, can I pray for you? And so one time, Cindy Jacobs was over at our church, and I followed her out, not hardly knowing who she was. Can I pray for you? And so I prayed for her, some specific stuff, not knowing that God would speak through me, and it was right on for that moment, and she starts speaking some nice words over me, and so she calls me out. I'm the only non-pastor, essentially, that she called out, And she starts saying things like, you'll be an evangelist to the nations. You'll do these great things for God. And there's a number of other people who said some nice prophetic words over my life. And the thing was, a few weeks later, I'm in ministry school, and I'm cleaning bugs out of lights around campus. And I'm like, this is so glorious. Cleaning toilets, essentially, that type of stuff. And I'm like, this seems so glorious. This seems so holy to go in. I feel like I'm in the backside of the world and nobody knows where I'm at. God, are you sure you're right? Didn't you tell me something great's going to happen with my life? You're going to use me everywhere. And it seems so small. It seems so minuscule. It seems so whatever. And the thing about being in ministry school, there's 20 of us or so, is I was a hard worker until I'm looking around at everybody else my age. And, you know, they slack off all the time, and all of a sudden a leader walks in and then they look like they're doing something. And I happened to be, I would be working the whole time, and as soon as the leader walked in, I slacked off because I'm like, they're all slacking off. And it seemed like, man, I can't get away with anything. I can't get away with anything. And what I realized is because God had a short leash, because he told me he's going to use me, and I had no idea there was a process to this thing. Because it was so, so real. God, you said. It was so real to my then that I had no concept of God maturing, that I wasn't ready for those great things that God told me. I wasn't ready for God to change a city, for God to change a nation. My zeal was ready, but my wisdom wasn't ready. There's a verse in Proverbs that says that zeal without wisdom is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And so in 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says this. And then you can open to Ephesians 4 if you want. And 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. When I was a child, it makes sense. I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. So childlikeness is a great thing. Unless we become like children, we can't enter the kingdom of God. But there's something like children that I'm sure Mitch knows, and any of you with children understand, is that there's not a sense of responsibility, there's not a sense of duty, there's not a sense of process and discipline until you're a little older. And what I'm getting at is Ephesians 4:12-15. It says some are, God gave some to be apostles, some prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. And then it says this, that to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, that's all of us, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So wind that comes and goes, just comes and goes, these fads, these things of life. By human cunning, by deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And it goes on to say some more. But God's design and God's desire is that every Christian mature in him into the stature of Christ. That we mature in our perspective of Christianity. We mature in our perspective of why God gives us spiritual gifts, natural gifts, gifts and talents and abilities, finances, everything. Like, it's really not about us. God loves us individually, but the reason you're not in heaven right now, I mean, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, but you're not in heaven right now because God wants to use you around people. If it were only about intimacy with God, which I'm huge on, I love that stuff. Like, the reason you're not with God the Father in eternity is because God has a purpose for you on this planet, and it's not about you. And because it's not about you, God wants to challenge the heck out of you, catch you in your sin and immaturity, and say, grow up. Sooner or later, you get into a church long enough, and God blesses you, and there's so much grace. But sooner or later, he in love spanks you and says, get over yourself. It's not about you. I love you. I'll love you eternally, and it'll never shrink. But I want to use you, and to use you without killing you, it means I catch you and discipline you. And so when I was crying out, God, use me as a young man, and as people are prophesying over me as a young man, God's going to use you. God saw, you're not ready though. It's true, but you're not ready. And so the prophecy is to encourage us through a season of waiting, through a season of maturing, through a season of not seeing it, so that we can see it, we can pray into it. I told God I want to go to Africa. I don't need high school. I needed high school. And I was so impatient. I'm like, this is stupid. I don't need this. There's kids in Africa. There are kids out there, Jesus, who don't have fathers, who don't have anything. And I'm here in Tucson, Arizona. What am I doing with life? And it was a lot of zeal. And I think Jesus loved that zeal. He put that zeal in me. God is zealous, and it's awesome. But the thing was, he's like, you would kill yourself. You would trip over yourself. You don't have the stature of character. So if I did crazy things through you, you would think it was about you, Matt. You would think it was about how God used you. You would think that it was about when people start praising you and they start thinking the gifts about you, Matt. You would be puffed up, and you would fall to the same sin of Satan, which is pride. And you know, that's a scary thing. A few years later, I did go to Africa. I did go with Heidi Baker and Randy Clark and David Hogan. And that was cool. I spoke at some pastors' conferences in the Philippines, and I've been to Brazil a few times. And there is a time and season for it. There was a man, and I think this illustration will help some of you, is he came up to me one time, and he prophesied. It was just in a parking lot. And he said something. He's like, Matt, I see, this is probably 6 years ago. I was just a teenager. Matt, I see you as a horse in a stall. And I see you as a horse bucking to get out. Do any of you guys have horses? Been around horses? But you are bucking and waiting to get out. You're a wild stallion in a sense. But what you didn't realize is that, Matt, Jesus was on your back. And you're wanting to get out. But what you didn't realize, Matt, is that if he would have let you out too early, you would have hurt yourself. You would have ran out there. But there will be a time and a season where God opens those doors and you'll ride with him. And so for me, it was a significant illustration of, I want to tame you. My youth pastor later said something to the like of, Matt, the value of a horse is in its spirit. If you break its spirit, you lose the value of the horse. So God doesn't want to break our spirit, but he wants to break our pride and our self-dependence. And it's something that we have to do, and it is all our life. And some of us it'll be easier, and some of us it'll be harder in our life. But there's areas in our life where we could be great in an area of dependence on God. Some of you, your faith for finances is probably incredible in seeing God provide. But in another area, maybe your stewardship of finances might need God's help, the wisdom side of it. For some of you, you might be very talented and in one area of home life, you might be very gifted, and another area could be lower. And your weaknesses don't negate your strengths, and your strengths don't negate your weaknesses. But God wants to challenge us to say, just because you're good in this area doesn't mean you're fully there. Your weaknesses will take you out at a point, unless they're checked. And so each of us, at each stage of life, I think God is really challenging us tonight. Normally, I like bringing fairly light messages and simple, but I really feel like that's what he's calling you as a church to do, is calling you into maturity. And I'm not saying this because I'm fully mature. I'm not. We're all on this journey together. But I really did feel like the Father was saying, I want to give you grace, but not just grace that covers you, but grace that empowers you into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Like, you're not just made to have fun, to enjoy the presence of God of itself. He wants the presence of God to change and transform you. And he will forgive you every time you go to an altar. He really will. But his goal isn't just that you would weep. His goal isn't just that you'd be healed in your body. His goal is that you would know him and be transformed and become like him as you behold him. I used to speak a lot when I was younger, and I would tell people, I still speak a lot, but I would tell people it's different to discern God's presence, because some people are very wowed by gifts of healing. I mean, I'm wowed by Jesus, but our level of amazement is in the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy and healing, which is all God. But I told him, I'm like, look, for God to heal, it's nothing. For God to prophesy, it's nothing. It's amazing to discern God's presence. It's amazing. But to know the one who's healing, to know the one who's prophesying, to know the Spirit that you're feeling is an entirely different thing. The reason God does those things is to to, like St. Augustine said, to put salt under our tongue that we might thirst for him. He reveals himself through healing or the gifts of the Spirit or acts of love and acts of service so that we would be pulled back into him. And so our immaturity, he does something incredible, but he doesn't want to stop there. He wants us to say, Jesus, why'd you heal? Why'd you have mercy on me? Why did you do it? And to think on him and to contemplate him. God spoke to me some years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago. He said, Matt, I want to take you to a place of rejoicing in that you heard me. Rejoicing in that you heard my voice. And he's saying this in an exciting way. And I want to take you from a place of knowing that you've heard me to a place of listening to what I said. To a place of I spoke it, but it has to matter to you. To taking you to a place of the substance of what I'm saying. And so it's great. I think Bible reading is a great discipline. I think waiting on God and personal meditation is necessary. But to take back and say, you spoke this to me, but I haven't responded. To say, you spoke this to me, but I haven't implemented it, or I forgot about it. To take it to, sometimes we so rejoice at prophecies, and we forget. I forget. We all forget. And it's a reminder to us to remember what he has spoken. In the book of Isaiah, it says that God wants to bless us, but he wants us to tremble at his word, to be contrite in the spirit. And I don't think it's a negative fear. It's a fear of regard. It's a respect, saying, because you spoke it. So when you're speaking to your children, they revere and remember what you said by not just hearing clean your room, but by actually cleaning your room. Easy one. And, hey, you need to go take out the trash. Take out the trash. And so it's a fairly simple message tonight, but I feel like God wants to jam us up so he can actually bless us and prosper us and take us to the place of fulfilled prophecy. God spoke to me some years ago. I'm just trying to use personal experience so that there can be something that relates. And we're all at different stages. He says, Matt, one day you'll speak the secrets of king's hearts to them. In other terms, Matt, you're going to speak to politicians and leaders, and you're going to speak into their life. You're going to prophesy to them. I was 17 years old. I had no idea how to carry myself in the presence of a leader. I mean, every time I would see someone, I would prophesy. I would go for healing. And, man, if I saw a crutch, I would go for it right then. And while that sounds great, I had no sense of setting. I had no sense of timing. I had no sense of they're eating right now. And I didn't understand that just because God can do something through me, that it's the right thing every time. Like, it sounds crazy, but sometimes God just tells you things and you discern things about someone because you're God's friend and he tells you things. That God, just because we can heal the sick and just because we can raise it and just because we can cast out demons doesn't mean we always, in every setting of life, should. Just because we can serve doesn't mean we always should. I mean, maturity is like, God, where are you calling me? What are you doing? How do I follow you? So I don't get burnt out. So I don't lean on my own flesh. So I don't get pulled in so many directions in life I'm ineffective in building what God's actually called me to build. And so I'm speaking to myself. And the only reason I think I'm speaking this message is because I'm in that season. And I've been in that season. And I'll be in that season of learning discipline and learning to hear him. But years later, I now have opportunity to see leaders, to pursue opportunities. And God's challenging me, like, Matt, you can pray for a leader. I can give you favor. But will that door remain open tomorrow? Like, will they be weirded out, knowing it was God, but did you carry yourself in such a way that they felt loved by you? Did you minister to them? And not just did I show up, but did they see you in a loving manner? Did they see you in a way that, man, he really cared about me? Is there a context of life so they can follow up with you? Or are you in so many places that you're not actually discipling people? I got to meet with our mayor earlier this week and about what we're doing at Gap Ministries. We do stuff with foster care kids and whatnot. And then I saw him the next day, and he walked up to me, and we talked for a second. And I remember God saying, he's like, Matt, I want you to have a friendship with him. I don't want you just to pray for him. I want you to have a friendship with him. And it makes me more careful not to be flippant, but to say, God, I really want to hear you. What setting am I in? Am I here just to be friends? Am I here to be gentle? Is the tool in my belt right now to speak a word of knowledge? Is the tool in my belt just to, how you doing? Is it to introduce your service to him and what your practical organization, or is it so you can do what you like to do, which is the gifts of the Spirit thing? Is this hidden home for anyone at all? Okay. Just checking it. There's relationships. I mean, I know some superintendents, some principals in town. And over the years, like, God ministered. And so it's what opened the door. God showed up. Statistics changed in their school. Violence goes down. Academics goes up. The principal has his job. The school didn't close. On all these stories. But what I'm challenged for 3 years later is maintaining what God did so it's not lost. And so when God shows up, we cry out for it, especially in the charismatic Pentecostal world, especially because we believe in God moving. It's like we cry out for this stuff for years, and I'm not in it as long as most of you. But like when God actually shows up, that we can lose what we fought for. It's the scariest thing. We're like, God, I fought so hard. Day and night we were praying. Day and night we were driving back and forth all over our state. And it's lost because we didn't steward it well. I mean, it's the scariest thing that I would do that. And so 3 years later, what I find is that how God answers prayer is opening doors, but now partnering with people to sustain the results and to grow it in different stages. And in this stage of development, some of the schools, it looks like serving the teachers, it looks like tutors and mentors. When I asked the mayor, how can we serve you, he told me, Matt, we need mentors for the kids. We need our senior citizens need to be connected to services. And what was the third one? And we need beautification projects. Those don't sound fun. Those don't sound exciting. They don't sound so prophetic. Go prayer walk our campuses. But they're open doors so that they can see what God looks like in flesh. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He didn't come in his first coming with light and glory 24/7. People didn't recognize him until he revealed himself to them. It's craziness. It's just like there's fun and excitement. I'm sure there will be in a few minutes. But there's mundaneness and boring and stewarding. But that stewarding and that wisdom and that side of it is what makes you, what allows God the opportunity to give you more. There's parables, several parables of the minas and the talents in which God said, Jesus said, that to the one who is faithful, I'll give more. I gave this one 5 talents. What does he do with it? I'll give him 5 more when he stewards well. To the 1 talent, the person who's given 1 talent, they complained. They didn't do anything with it. I only have 1 talent. I only have so much, God. They misunderstood his character. They accused him. You're a hard man. And he said, you wicked and lazy servant. So for me, like what I felt earlier when I was writing down in worship, I feel like God has gifts for each one of you. And that you don't have to look at, I don't sing like they do. I know I don't sing like them. You don't want to stand next to me in worship, you know. I can't carry a tune. I can't clap and sing at the same time. How many of you can not clap and sing at the same time? Am I the only one? It's because I'm half white. That's what it is. My Mexican side's good at rhythm. It only comes out sometimes, though. But not to compare ourselves, whether it be drums. They have talents here on stage. They can worship. I can't preach. I don't have any leadership, or I'm just a teacher. I'm just in Border Patrol, or I'm just a student. God wants you to know he has gifts for you, and he wants you to use those gifts. He wants to be loved. He wants you to love him with his gifts, and he wants you to love people with your gifts. And he wants to put you to work. And the more you allow him to work through you in simple, everyday things, the more he's going to give you. And so for you who feel God's promise to you, maybe it's, hey, you're going to start a big business that's going to make lots of money, or hey, you're going to plant a church one day and lots of people will be saved, or God's going to send you overseas as a missionary, or God's going to use you to change the world. Whatever that is, you'll never do it until you begin to steward what he's already given you, even if it's just 1 talent and you don't have as much as the guy with 10 talents or 5 talents. He's just challenging you. Be a faithful servant. And he'll catch you when you're being lazy or slow. I'm not calling any of you lazy, but when any of us get lazy, he's going to catch us on it because we need it. We need discipline. We need him to rebuke you. Did he point to your sister? Anyways, someone just pointed. Babe, you are so disciplined. I so admire how you're always on key. Just clarifying, I'm not calling her. And he wants to show us himself through our lives, but we're not ready for everything he wants to do. I could prophesy God will use this church to do incredible things. He's going to change Douglas through you. He's gonna bring hundreds of people here and impact hundreds of lives here and around the world. And I don't think those things are not true. But I think the message for right now is, if he did do it, are you ready for it? If he did do it, would you get lost in the commotion? Would people come in, they get saved or they get healed, and then the evil one comes in to sow tares amongst the wheat? Are you ready as a leadership team to disciple them? Are you ready to, when God does do things he's promised you, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? What are you doing to prepare? What are you doing in process? What are you doing? What are you doing in your family? What are you doing in your marriage? What are you doing in your school? What are you doing? And until you get some of the things that God's challenged you, whatever that is, you'll be in the same cycle again and again in that one area until you get it right, because he wants that area to be in order so that he can bless the rest of the process. So that's enough said on that end. And the rest of what I felt like is, I got the word transition, I'll talk about it tomorrow, courage and strength. And I feel like for the road ahead, God wants to give you courage and he wants to give you strength. You probably need strength first so you can take courage. And you'll need courage. The only reason you need courage is because there's opportunity to not be courageous. There's opportunity to be fearful. There's opportunity to get discouraged by the many tests and trials of life. There's many opportunities to give up, to give in, and say it's too hard. He wants to give you courage that's deep and real and enduring, and that matters. And I promise you, your faithfulness will be rewarded in its time and season. I promise you that as you give in to his strength in you and you resist the temptation to compromise, even in little ways, resist to slander others in the body of Christ, resist the temptation to be jealous of what God's doing wherever. There's always somebody to be jealous of. And resist the temptation to give it in. If God's called you to this local church, he's called you. You don't give up on it. He'll come. He'll break through. And you'll be glad that you stuck through it. I mean, Aaliyah's told me for years and years, can I share about your mom? She has prayed for her mom and contended for her mom. And it's not until the last year where anything really began to happen. I mean, her mom wouldn't listen about God. She wouldn't listen about Christ. But she saw relative stability and pressing through and consistency for years and years and years. And you know what? We were just at her school the other day praying with her. And today we're on the phone and she talks about how she hears God and she talks about what God's doing in her life. And we're still waiting on my father-in-law, Henry. But she loves Jesus. And over the last year, there's still temptation moments. And like, it's so rewarding to see the fruit. And it's actually so surprising. It's so surprising. My mom prayed for, she came to Jesus. She lived in a little podunk town. What was it called? She lived in Dateland, Arizona. Do you guys know where Dateland is? It's the middle of nowhere. It's between Tucson and Yuma, somewhere in there. And a kid came up to her in high school and simply said, "Hey, there's someone that loves you." The bell rings, and she comes back the next day. Like, "What were you saying?" "Who loves me?" And he's like, "Jesus." She gives her life to Jesus in such a simple way. And there's no real churches in her town. She shows up to a church, and it wasn't a Bible-teaching church, and she was so discouraged. She was so, so discouraged. And all she had was the preaching on the radio. I don't even know who it was now. But she walked out of that church that wasn't teaching the Bible, and some stuff happened. And she walked out, and she's like, she felt so alone. No one in her family was Christian. I mean, my grandfather beat my grandmother so bad that she doesn't even remember any of my mom's childhood. I mean, my uncles moved all to different parts of the countries because of the abuse that was so bad. Like, one of my uncles was hung on a tree by his hands, you know? It's just hard. And so my mom, being the only Christian, she didn't know what to do. And she walked out of the church so discouraged, and it was the only time in her life she just heard God's voice say, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." She just heard an audible voice and looked around. And like in through these hard seasons of life, she went through cancer. She's better now. She lost her job. They've been in 3 years of hardship, and they're just getting out on the other side. And I've watched as I've prayed with my mom, and she's had the most testing in her life. But she loves Jesus, and now she's helping start a Christian university up in Idaho where she is. And she's facing her demons and all that. But she prayed for her mom, my grandmother, for 40 years or so. Well, that's not right, 35 years or so. And finally, my grandfather and her moved in when he got cancer, and he started deteriorating, and he passed away, and I was in middle school, and nobody else wanted, you know, to take care of my grandma, and she was in okay health, but she never learned to drive because my grandfather never let her because he was afraid that she'd leave him. And in any case, she'd make us tortillas, and, you know, that wasn't bad. She'd make me food and enchiladas, and she'd iron all my clothes because she got mad when I'd iron them, so I had it kind of easy for a little bit for that, but we'd always invite her to church, and she would never come. We'd try to tell her about Jesus. She would never come. She was a staunch Catholic, but not a connected Catholic. And so one day, she decides to go to church with us, and there's an altar call for refreshing. She's like, I'm tired. I stayed up playing dominoes last night with the senior crowd, and I'm tired. So she goes front, and I felt something. I followed her up there, and God did something in that moment of refreshing in her. And I'm like, do you know that God didn't just want to refresh you? He wants you to know him. And I'd share that 100 times. And in that moment, she gives her life to Jesus. And you have to know, my mom was weeping. And the next day, my grandmother's like, I feel so different. Years later, she has cancer now. She's probably going to pass away in the next few months. But she loves Jesus, and she has peace in the middle of the storm. That's such a witness to the rest of my family. What if my mom didn't pray for 40 years and see nothing happening? And one day, I get to lead her to Jesus. 40 years later, I've seen nothing. What's God challenging you for? Some of those promises are 20 years away, or 30 years away. My mom will know Jesus. My mom contended, and that's her promise, and nothing seemed to happen. And it seemed to go backward at times, where my grandfather didn't want to hear anything about God and all of that. And so who knows? I want to say that tomorrow everything will change, but what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? Are you willing to be faithful? My grandma's going to be in heaven for eternity. My mom believed for her. Will there be people in heaven because you're contending for your family members? You're praying for your children. My mom prayed for me through hell and back. And I believe I'm saved because of hers and others' prayers and pursuit for me when I was a little heathen. And what's it going to be? I don't know what God is challenging you to. Do you want to jump on the keyboard or something? And I don't know what he's challenging you to. For Aaliyah, it was press through when they hate you. And little by little, one by one, they're softening. So, but if you want to stand with me. You want to put your hand on your heart. And you just want to ask God what he's saying to you. And God, would you speak to me? Would you lead each one of us individually? God, I don't think this is a message where you're speaking the same thing to everyone. I think there's one or two things you're challenging everyone to. And you're a gracious Father. And I pray that there would be no feeling of condemnation, but the love of a Father who disciplines those that he loves and delights in. And God, would you show us where you want to give us grace and empowerment. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us right now? Would you lead us to repentance, God? Where we're stuck, would you lead us out? Where we're in the mud, where we're undisciplined, where there's lazy areas, small or big, would you speak to us? God, we don't want to be children tossed to and fro. We want to be oaks of righteousness. We want to be steady and firm. We want to be fully mature in the person of Christ. And we can only do it through your Spirit. We don't want to do this in the flesh. We want to do this in you. So just come, God. Speak to us. Speak to us. Speak to me. Speak. Where do you want to challenge us, God, so that you can bless us? Sustain blessing, God. So if you just want to individually confess your dependence on Jesus, Jesus, I need you in this. I surrender this area of my life. Maybe for some of you, I don't want to surrender this area of my life, but I do want to surrender this area of my life. I'm resistant, but I want to follow you. It's hard, but I want to follow you. It's difficult, but I want to follow you. And if you would like, if there's something God's working on your heart, as an act of surrender, if you would like to, I just invite you to come up to the altar and just allow God to work on you. For some of you tonight, I feel like it's just time to surrender to Jesus. Not only for areas of your life where he's disciplining you, but you're not surrendered to Jesus in general. So it's not just a specific issue he's dealing with. He's asking for your life. And so whoever that is, like I can feel the tug and the pull over you, Jesus will give you grace. He will set you free. He will make you fiery and holy and unafraid. Whoever that is, I just invite you to come down through the altar and let him work on you. He will do it. He will do it. Some of you, there's unforgiveness towards those who've hurt you, and it's time to forgive those who've hurt you. For somebody here 2 years ago, there was a fallout with another ministry. I don't know who that is. I don't know what context. But the Lord's calling you, give that to me. Give that to me. It was painful, but he says, give that to me tonight. There's somebody, your in-laws, your mother-in-law. God is calling you to forgive them, to reconcile, and to lay down some bitterness. These might not be the words of knowledge for healing, but I feel God is speaking them. just welcome you, Holy Spirit. Just welcome you, Holy Spirit. Just want all of you tonight. Just want you, Holy Spirit. Just want you. Just want all of you, God. We want to be wholly surrendered, fully to you. Give us grace to surrender areas of our life that aren't surrendered yet. Don't let us be fooled, God. We don't want to be 90% obedient, 90% surrendered. We want 100% surrender to the glorious and worthy Jesus. And so if you're in your seat right now, what I want you to do is find someone near you, whether it's your spouse or somebody. And what I want you to do is I want you to tell them what you feel God is saying to you and ask them to pray for you in that area. The Bible says confess your sins to one another that you might be healed. And so just find someone, share with them, and pray for them. And pray grace for them. So we just bless that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And conversely, what I want you to do is place your hand on your heart. And I want you to ask Jesus to speak to you about areas that he just wants to affirm you in and love on you in. And just speak to him, Jesus, what do you love about me? Affirm me. Speak to me. And I think he conversely wants to pour strength, courage, and boldness in your life. And so, Lord, I release grace right now to hear, to receive, to recognize courage, strength, and godly affirmation. We release that grace today in Jesus' name. And we just release you from every sense of anxiety. And Father, I just release your grace to discern direction, that you're good, you're going to lead them as they acknowledge you. Let refreshing begin to enter the room, Lord. Times of refreshing. In Jesus' name. Hey, Mike, would you come here? Congratulations. So you guys are daughter, stepdaughter? Have you guys ever seen Jesus heal before?
No.
Okay. I want you to know Jesus really wants to use you right now. And there's no pressure on you at all. But he just wants to do something. Do you guys want to lead us in a song? You just guys want to worship right now. can happen, that's okay. I don't want you to pass me. How's it feel?
Warm.
Feels warm right now? Okay. Sometimes it's got to get to the heel. There's a feeling of heat or a feeling of heat. It's like nothing. So we're going to pray for you. What's that?
Feeling of heat,
that's a good sign. Don't, guys, when you pray again, repeat after me. Jesus, thank you for what you're doing. I bless the heat. I bless your presence. And I command healing in this room. All pain be gone. All tension be gone. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be strengthened. How would you know if there's a difference? Okay. Yeah, how would you know? In Jesus' name. And so what I want to do is kind of switch ministry modes. How many of you feel like God's doing something in you, or God challenged you in an area of your life? I mean, I feel God challenged me too, so this is all of us. But what I want to challenge you to do is to write something down, share it with someone, and try not to forget. And whether it's something big or small, just allow God to work grace in you. God's grace empowers you. But what I want to do next is one of the things that God does to empower us. It says in Acts chapter 1, it says that when God's power comes on us, that we're empowered to be his witnesses. And that God wouldn't tell us to do something without giving us the ability to do it. And one of those things, quite simply, is the power of God's Holy Spirit. And that for some of us tonight, he wants to baptize or touch us with a power that we can't manufacture. We can't make happen. For some of you, you might start speaking a spiritual language you didn't have before. For some of you, there might be a sin issue in your life that will be broken tonight. We're not going to call those out. But tonight, God's power for you might just mean that some of you, one of you tonight, I know it's one of you at least, depression will leave you and it won't come back. And that there won't be an abiding peace. There's somebody that's grieving right now. I don't know if it's a loss of a loved one, and I won't guess, but God wants to take you out of grieving to a place of healing. But it's God's, the power of God's Spirit. And so what I want to ask you to do is, get in a posture to receive from God. If you want to hold out your hands like this to receive a gift. And if you just want to repeat after me, God, I invite the power of your Spirit in my life that I can't produce. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Break things in my life and release your glory. I just see, as you're waiting, there's somebody's left ear that's being healed in Jesus' name. I just see hearing be restored in a left ear in Jesus' name. You're healed. I just see somebody that you get random bouts of just confusion that hits you mentally. Just where you get disoriented. I don't know what that is. But in Jesus' name, I command be healed in Jesus' name. I command that spirit of confusion to leave you. You're going to feel it lift right now in Jesus' name. I command a spirit of depression and bipolar to leave in Jesus' name. There's one of you that was saying, God, if you could do that for me, it would be helpful. There's somebody praying in quite simple language. I'm tired of depression. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of being sad all the time. I'm tired of it. There's somebody just praying about it. And I declare to you freedom in Jesus' name. I just say receive the Holy Spirit. Just receive the power of God right now. God, release the spirit of your power. I'm going to settle in Jesus' name. Just come, Holy Spirit. Power, freedom, strength, courage, boldness. Come. If there's anyone in this room who's never spoken in a spiritual language or spoken in the gift of tongues, I just want to invite you. We won't be scary. We'll pray for you very gently. And you would like the gift of tongues or the spiritual language, I just want you to come to the front and I just want to pray with you and believe that God will give you the gift of tongues. Quite simply, for some of you, if you don't know what that is, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit that God just gives you a supernatural language in which to talk to Him. So if you would like that, I just want you to come to the front. It won't be scary. And we'll pray for you. Aaliyah, you want to come up here? Okay. Or if you think you have it, but you haven't talked in the gift of tongues in a long time, just come to the front. We'll pray for a renewal of that gifting. We have mints up here too, so I promise our breath won't smell. And we'll just, you don't want to worship. Yes, God. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, maybe. So Holy Spirit, we say you're welcome here. And so if you just want to lift your hands, you don't have to stand, but if you just want to sing with us, sing with the song. So Barb and Calvin, you guys can sit, but if you want to sit next to each other real quick. And if a few of you in this room want to go put hands on their shoulders. Come on, Mike, you want to come over here? Volunteer. We're going to pray for you guys. Yes, we're going to pray for you. And if we can get you with your hand up, come here. We need a kid. Okay. So I want to stretch out your hands toward them. want you to do is if you want to get your family, I just want to encourage you to just gather them up, and I just want you to pray God's blessing over each one. Just as a father, I bless you in Jesus' name. As a future husband, as a fiance, I bless you. I just want you to know, God, I just feel God's going to do something significant right now. Cycles and curses are going to stop. And Father, would you release your angels and your spirit that would release healing and favor and breakthrough. And we say, God, let your voice be stronger than every other voice of accusation, of condemnation, of shame, and guilt. And let this be a moment of freedom. Let this be a moment where your spirit settles in. And let this be a moment where his ears hear your voice in Jesus. Your ears hear the voice of God. Your ears hear the voice of your Father. And I declare your ears be unstopped. And your mind be open. What God is saying here, just bless you. Enter into a new level of God. To hear and mercy. So come, Holy Spirit. The other voice of accusation and condemnation. Come, Holy Spirit. Release freedom, God. Release joy. Release vision. Speak of you to dream again, dream again, dream again. Jesus. Jesus. And so the last thing I want to do in here is if you want to just pray with me, we'll just everybody come to the front. And I just want to pray together for the church and be kind of simple. If you have your spiritual language, I just want you to pray in tongues. And if you don't, that's okay. I just want to specifically pray over the thing of hearing God's voice. I want to pray that corporately together that you would hear God's voice. You would hear God's voice through each other. You'd hear God's voice in worship. You'd hear God's voice in the preaching of the word. You'd hear God's voice in your families. Just the simplicity of the Father speaking to you guys. I feel like super simple, but I feel God is freshly establishing that truth.
These are pastors from Mexico that helped us start this church years ago.
That's really neat. so, Father, I just want to thank you for your voice here in this church. Like, it's not just your voice, it's intimacy with you. But I just want to thank you for a new place of hearing the Father's voice, of knowing you, Holy Spirit, and fellowshipping with you. God, I want to thank you that you're strengthening what already exists, what's already there. You're affirming it, and you're taking it deeper. I thank you that this is a church that loves you, Holy Spirit, that loves you, Father. But I just ask you for more of that, God. God, for a freshness and a joy in hearing God together. Just thank you, Holy Spirit. God, it's a family thing. It's a family thing you're doing with your voice, God. You're speaking to families, God. Your voice is coming through fathers to sons, and your voice is coming from sons to fathers. Your voice is coming, God, prophetically to affirm, to establish, to unite. God, it's not just a ministry grace evangelistically. It's a grace for the family to hear together. I pray that this church would be united, would be grow together into maturity through knowing your voice deeper. Pray that there would be a greater degree of trust as a church and a greater love for the fatherly and motherly leaders here, the apostolic leaders. We just bless that. And so we just bless you. I really feel that family thing. That God really wants to speak to your congregation as a family and to grow deeper. And, you know, God just, there's something about God's voice and speaking to each other. And so whatever is happening right there, I just see that for your church in whatever way that is. And I just see the sweetness of his voice prophetically. Building you up together, and not just one or two, but more of you learning, growing, and maturing. And so I just bless that on you. I bless you as a voice of the shepherd of this house and as a father in this house to speak affirmation in the young men's lives. And God's just going to bring some fatherless children here. I figure he already has, but he's bringing some more into the fold. And of anything that he's going to speak, it's through you as a father. Some of it may not feel prophetic, but it's the Father through you that'll affirm little hearts that just feel like they're dying, and they're going to wake up. And they're going to keep coming back, and some of them will be a little rascally, but I think you can handle that. And I just feel like you're faithful, and he'll give you some more. And I know you have some family on stage, directly and indirectly, and he's going to give you some more to your family, and you're going to be faithful as a dad, spiritually and beyond. And refreshing is coming to you, to your natural children, and some of those who feel like they are. So I just bless that in you. And so of anything else, Calvin, I feel like you have been going deep with the Father, and I feel like you have been seeking him, and I feel like you have been fellowshipping with him. And I just feel like that's the route to the rest of the blessing. And so I just feel like if anything God's affirming you in right now, it's like you've been faithful in seeking my heart for my heart's sake. You're a David after me. You're seeking me. I see it. I know it. It's not fake. It's not hypocritical. It's me. And the Lord appreciates that about you. And the Lord likes that about you. And the Lord will multiply that heart. And of anything years and years and years and years from now, of any legacy that I believe that God will do specifically with leaders, is people decades from now, years from now, should the Lord tarry, that heart being multiplied. And so beyond any of the form of ministry, the heart of ministry is what you're going to impart, what he's already done and what he'll continue to do more and more. So I just bless that effectiveness in ministry. And I bless that fatherly anointing. And I bless that grace to speak straight into people's hearts. And I just bless you to being a disciple once again. And I just call forth God's Spirit, God's anointing that will draw those ones here around your life. And I just speak over you, help is on the way. I say, help is on the way. Help is on the way. Whatever that means to you, I don't see it. Whatever this means to you, I don't see it as you going out, but I see it as God coming in and meeting you in that need and that place. And I feel like for the last week or so in particular, that particular type of thing is what God is answering. I don't know what that is, but I just feel like you'll know what that is. Help is on the way. In Jesus' name. So, handing off the mic.
Thank you, Matt and Leah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I know I was blessed tonight. And I know you were blessed tonight. And I know God was blessed tonight. And we want to continue this blessing tomorrow morning. Well, let's just take it home with us. Then bring it back and get together again tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And so we want to continue to flow as water together. I saw like a vision tonight during praise and worship, and I'm wanting to work on an illustrated sermon, so watch out. But I saw like a water jug here, an empty one, and I saw everyone come in with a bottle of water, and they would drink of the water, and then they would pour the rest of it in the jug. And we were filling this jug up with water. Everyone drank of their own water, but then they all added to the jug. And after the water was all in the jug, it was just one water. Just one water. And I envisioned that tonight, and I believe that's what God's doing with us. He's making one water out of us. I don't have all the pieces. I got to work on this. But it sounds good. It sounds good. I need your water. And God needs your water, our water, so we can fill up the jug and take water to those that are thirsty out on the streets. Amen. Well, we're privileged to be here, privileged to have. We've got two pastors with us tonight, Hermano Hector and Hermano Jose Luis and their lovely wives. And it's nice to have them here. Hallelujah. And we've praise and worship did a great job. Amen. Give them a hand. Amen. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to find about 20 or 30 people and give them a hug and a kiss. Go home, go to bed, get some rest, and come back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. God bless you. Thank you for coming.